Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Hola.
How are you? Maybe I'm talking too fast here.
I'll just say hola.
Hola. Hola.
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm busy.
Oh, very good.
And conditioning has a lot to say about that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
What kinds of things does it say?
Well, it's almost not so much words. It's more like catastrophizing, sort of,
uh-huh.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to get this all done.
Let me guess. Let me see if this fits. There's something wrong, and there's not enough.
How did you guess? You are too brilliant.
I'm too brilliant. Too brilliant. Isn't it great how we can see something like that, and then how all of these believable pieces of content can fit under that the heading of that one process?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can distill all of life just down to something wrong, not enough.
Yeah. I think about, the Buddha's four causes of suffering. Not getting what you want, getting what you want and not being satisfied, being separated from those or that which you love, and being forced to endure the company of those or that which you do not love. And it all comes down, as far as I can tell, to not getting what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the rest of it is just variations on the original theme.
Yes, variations on not getting what you want.
Yeah. Which I suppose you could say about something wrong and not enough.
Yes.
You know, again, it's just variations on that theme of not getting what you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so believable until I have to talk to you. And there's no room for it.
Yeah, and then we go, huh. Guys, you mean my suffering is that predictable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why it's good to talk, isn't it? That's why we have a talk radio show.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we have a call-in talk radio show, so we can
call in.
Yeah, we can talk to each other about this stuff, get it out there, look at it from a little bit of distance, the distance of outside my head and back into my ears, and suddenly I have a whole new perspective and life is possible again.
Yes, fabulous. Speaking of call in, let me give out that phone number, 877-514-7300. And if you're outside the U.S., you can call +1-858-277-1414. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you here. And if you're not available to reach us right now, you can email us at openair@livingcompassion.org. And archives of all of the show are right here where you're listening now, worldtalkradio.com, on the Open Air show page.
And speaking of which, I have to visit the archives because I understand you had a great show last week.
Yes, I did.
Talking about the old days as well as the current days with Sister Phil Deanna.
Yes.
Catholic sister and Zen monk extraordinaire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was a lot of fun to talk about the early stages of the Zen Center and the monastery and how it's branched out into Africa and Assisi and mm-hmm. all of the new directions.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I am speaking to you today from the gorgeous Asilomar Conference Center in Pacific Grove, California, where I'm at the Social Venture Network Conference. And I'll tell you, it is. There's a lot of wonderful stuff happening in this world.
Great.
You know, sometimes we can. We talk about this often. You know, we can. There's just so much bad news coming at us.
Yeah.
Whether we go on a retreat at some place like the monastery or a day-long workshop or wherever we are going on retreats and doing workshops and that sort of thing, to put ourselves in the presence of people who are living something other than something wrong, not enough, and bad news, is a joyous thing to do.
And, it's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. And for these 3 days, I've had an opportunity to be in the presence of people who have outrageous visions that they are turning into reality in this world. This is a group of people who are nonprofits. They're socially responsible businesses and then hybrids of those two things.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that the network of people who are devoting their lives to turning things away from suffering and toward conscious, compassionate life for humans and all critters and the planet itself. So
that's
good news, folks.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm going to, you know, I'm just so lit up. The poor people who are putting on the conference, of course, they're just working around the clock, and they're, you know, they're getting to the point of, I'm tired, and I think I'm not going to sleep for about 3 weeks after this. I'm just so lit up and inspired and rejuvenated and just ready to get back to doing our little piece of the puzzle.
Oh, that's great. Our contribution.
Our contribution. The little part of it that we can do.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Speaking of little parts that we can do, we have an event coming up on Saturday, June 25th in San Jose.
We sure do.
Do you want to give us a little...
Yes, Trish and Richard are going to come out and play their beautiful music for us. Music that I personally find beautiful and inspiring and just within about, I don't know that much about music, but 3 or 4 bars, I think is what it's called, can just take me to that place that I was just describing where I think, oh yes, this is who we really are, and yes, this is what we're about, and yes, there are a bunch of us, and yes, we can hold hands, and yes, we can do this glorious thing of waking up and ending suffering. So they're coming out. Everybody's invited. It's a free event. It's an event that Living Compassion is providing for. It's just kind of a little thank you and a get together for the folks who are involved with us in whatever way. And that could be just listening. You know, you just tuned in today for the first time. You're invited.
Yes.
So 3 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, June 25th.
Yes, in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more information at the Living Compassion website. That's livingcompassion.org. And if you are coming, we'd love to know so that we can save a seat for you. And you can RSVP by emailing to information@livingcompassion.org. Sherry, we have a caller.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Lorenzo. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes, Sherry. Okay, I have some question about compassion. And I've seen your definition of compassion somewhere on your website, and it says compassion doesn't assume there's something wrong that needs to be changed or fixed. Now, I did talk to you a couple of weeks ago about the nature of change,
mm-hmm.
and I did say that, you know, when you are going through changes, it's very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have suggested in order to go through this period with a bad possible attitude, like being perky all the time,
uh-huh.
you need to have compassion for even when under duress. So using your definition, compassion doesn't assume there's something wrong that needs to be fixed or changed. So I'm having some trouble reconciling the ideas that when I'm going through stressful changes, and if I'm having compassion, by definition, as far as I can tell, if I have compassion for something, there's no room, there's no need to change it. I don't want to fix it. Just accept it as it is. But so when
yeah, Boy, is that a sticking place for almost all of us, depending on what's going on. So the kind of cultural belief that we have is that if you accept something, then, as you say, why? Okay, there's nothing wrong with it, so let's just leave it as it is. For me, tomorrow at this conference that I just mentioned, where I am, I'm going to propose the idea that there's nothing wrong. And I'm going to propose this to a group of people who are devoting their lives to fixing things and changing the world. And the point that I want to make is that we can devote ourselves to changing things, not because they're wrong, but because we have responded to our best opportunity to have our hearts opened and to be moved to want to make a difference. So I personally, you know, if I look at my life, I can certainly accept that children are starving all over the world. The place where I most directly work is in Zambia. So I accept the fact that they are starving. And I don't particularly think that that's wrong. In other words, that is kind of an irrelevant piece of the, that's bringing in, you know, if my car breaks down, I don't really need to consider whether it's wrong. I need to recognize that it has broken down, and I need to do whatever needs to be done to fix it. So in that way, children are hungry, all right? I accept that. I see that. I get that. And what that moves me to do is want to feed them. I don't want to waste a single molecule of energy, if that's how that works. I don't want to waste a single second of time in some idea about whether this is right or wrong. I want to get on with feeding the hungry kids.
Okay. So you do see there's a role for compassion in undergoing stressful changes?
Oh, yes. The point of it, for me, when you're going through stressful changes, the point for me is that you have an opportunity to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to yourself, to Lorenzo, as he is going through these stressful changes. That's your best opportunity to recognize that you are something larger than this story, this conditioned idea about who this Lorenzo fellow is and who he should be. You have a chance to step back into conscious, compassionate awareness and extend to Lorenzo as he goes through these changes the kind of support and care and concern and mentoring and encouragement that you have always longed for. I'm guessing you have. Most of us have.
Okay. So what you're saying is your definition of compassion doesn't mean stop doing anything, stop changing.
No. In fact, my definition of compassion is more along the lines of oneness. Okay, so you look at, because what you're stepping back into, this larger perspective, this conscious compassion awareness, let's call that a Buddha perspective, okay? An unconditionally accepting perspective. And from that perspective, you see this Lorenzo, who is struggling and suffering and going through really stressful changes in his life. From that Buddha perspective, all you want to do is offer whatever assistance you can.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. And to me, that's what makes this spiritual. It's what makes it practice. What we're doing is learning not to be limited to an idea of a personality. okay, to the cultural conditioning that we have been given. We're not, that is not who we authentically are. From my perspective, the words that I come up with to describe that authentic nature is conscious, compassionate awareness. It is possible for you to step into that and to extend that conscious, compassion awareness to any and everything, and that includes Lorenzo.
Very, very good.
Okay. You'll do that, and you'll let me know, yes?
You know, we are missing two episodes in the May archives.
You are what?
On the Internet.
Uh-huh.
We are missing two episodes of your show on the Internet for the May of 2005.
Uh-huh.
The month of May only has two episodes.
Well, we're going to have Michael look into that, okay?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Lorenzo.
Thank you. You're the best. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Lorenzo. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. And yes, I will get on those shows in May for the website.
See, we are so grateful to have you to take care of all of our needs.
Yeah.
You know, being a host is more than, being the person who greets us and makes everything run smoothly when we're on the air. You're also the guy behind the scenes who makes everything run smoothly. So
a little bit of back office work.
We thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome.
All right.
It's a pleasure and a privilege to do it. Sherry, it's so fascinating to me that, as you were talking about with Lorenzo, that, and I could really relate in what I'm looking at now, bringing acceptance to ourselves when there's a lot of change going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a hard time not to take ourself personally.
Uh-huh.
It really is. You know, I'm here, I don't know where everybody else is who'd be listening in, but I'm here on the edge of the Pacific Ocean, okay? It's an extremely beautiful day. I would say it is a perfect day. Now, it's pretty easy for me not to take this life personally in a way that causes me to suffer.
Yes.
Because if I were going to take this life, this Sherry Huber life, personally, I would get to, boy, are you a lucky duck. You know, things are going just exactly right for you. This is fabulous. I could take that personally if I wanted to.
Yes.
And it would be a nice kind of taking personally. But when we're in a place in our lives when nothing seems to be working, when it's just slogging along uphill, the opportunity that those voices of the conditioned mind of self-hatred have to really rub it in. You know, all of those old cliches about kicking a person when they're down,
yeah.
I mean, they really come into play because we already feel kind of off balance. We already feel bad. You know, I'm not having a good life experience. And then there's a voice inside my head telling me what's wrong and how it's my fault, and it's very hard not to take it personally.
Yeah.
So it's good for us to practice in those times when life is pretty neutral, so that when it doesn't feel neutral, we can go to those skills that we have developed and not take that personally either.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I don't get the credit when things are working well, and I don't have to take the blame when things aren't.
Yes.
Every bit of it, as far as I can tell, every bit of it is my best opportunity to choose compassion.
Wow.
Every second of it.
Wow.
Whether it's sitting there today listening to this fabulous woman talk about the challenges that she's gone through in her life and what she's learned and what she's seen, and I mean, just this heroic story. And I glance from her because I see movement out this beautiful picture window into the trees and the ocean beyond, and there's a mother deer and her two little fawns, you know, and there's it. I mean, it's just, it's extraordinary, and I don't get any credit for that. I am just grateful to be alive and to be here and be present and be experiencing this. All I can feel is gratitude that this is where I am in this moment. And on the other side of the coin, I'm not getting anything I want and it feels like the whole world is lined up against me, to go back to that place of, it does this too, truly, really doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't need to take it on, but it is a great opportunity to reach out a helping hand and extend some kindness and compassion to the person who's living through this.
Yes, wonderful. Those are words to live by.
Mm.
You're listening to Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have another caller.
Lovely.
I'd like to welcome Michael from Menlo Park. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Sherry. I got into the program late, and I didn't know if you were really there or not today.
I'm really as here as ever.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I saw something really big this morning, and I'm taking the email class, so I wrote it in my journal.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just going to read it because I'm really nervous and my heart's pounding. Anyway, I just saw how insidious the following is, number one. These are voices I've been hearing, and the number one here I've been hearing for 4 years. Sherry is wrong to structure the Sangha so that we do not socialize like real religious communities do. That's number one. And the other voice that I've been hearing is, you dare not bring this up, because if you do, you will be banned.
Uh-huh.
Now, the next thing I wrote down is, the only conclusion of these two premises is, leave the Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
The voices are trying to force me to quit.
Mm-hmm. Which, as you saw this morning, is their whole point.
Yes, and I wrote down here, following that, I'm going to call into Open Air today and ventilate this.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, when Michael and I first started the conversation, and I was talking about something wrong and not enough.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
It's so interesting that there are these absolute, surefire, no doubt about it. This is conditioned mind making a case for suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
And we fall for them time after time after time.
Well,
after
finally,
time.
When I heard both of these this morning, I heard how insidious it was. There's
yeah.
no way to win there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be crushed no matter what I do.
Yeah. And the thing that is the tip off is keep it secret.
Well, yeah, keep it secret. And number two, don't dare say this, because if you do, they're going to escort you to the door, and that's right.
You have to keep it just between us. We'll just talk about this inside your head, but don't ever check it out. Don't tell anybody. Don't let anybody know that this is going on. When that kind of secrecy starts, we can know that we are in self-hate land, and it's not going to have a happy ending unless we open our mouths.
Exactly, and I watched Oprah yesterday. I check in Oprah every day when I can to see what's there.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I can, it's good. Yesterday it was on some people who had been sexually abused as children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about secrecy.
Oh, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody.
If you tell, as a matter of fact, one of the women was saying, the guy told her, if you tell, I'll kill your parents.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just a very slight variation on the one that you got.
Yeah.
Right? Because you will be banned. You will be shunned. You will die. And, it doesn't manifest, you know, I mean, it doesn't say it that way, the way her threat was, but it comes to the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for 4 years.
Yeah. 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 Good for you. You know, one of the arguments for our practice being structured the way it is that it takes us to these kinds of places.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, of course, I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
And,
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, 2 hours after I wrote that down, it occurred to me, and I wrote some more down, that I spent 13 miserable years in a church being beaten to a bloody pulp by this very same conditioning.
Wow.
Oh, it was awful.
And now you were in a situation where you could do what it's telling you now you can't do and should be able to do.
No, what happened is now that I'm in an awareness practice and I look back on how I behaved then, I was in the not only I, but you know, as far as I could tell, everybody around me was in the grip of conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And well, I know I was. I don't know.
Just playing.
I shouldn't say everybody else because I
right,
don't know.
Right. Right. You could project that, but
I certainly know I was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just playing it out, playing all this stuff out with unconsciousness.
Oh, it's total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Total.
Yeah. And of course, conditioning would love to put you back in a situation where you could go sound asleep, and it could run the show. And make you think that you're awake and paying attention and making conscious choices and decisions. You know, it thrives in that kind of environment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Well, thank you for letting me call in.
That's great.
Well, I'm glad you were there today because I really needed to talk to you.
Yeah, well, congratulations on not only on the insight, but on taking advantage of it and getting it outside your head and expressing it and having that freedom from it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. The phone lines are open here. If you'd like to join our conversation today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 877-514-7300. That's toll-free in the U.S. And if you're outside of the U.S., you can give us a call at +1-858-277-1414. And we'd love to hear from you today. Sherry, I have some email questions here.
Wonderful. Let's talk about one of those.
Okay. Dear Sherry, here is one piece of conditioning that arises again and again. I live in a highly social college dorm, and people congregate on the balcony just above my room and play music, talk, laugh together. I know it's ridiculous, but I'm absolutely terrified to join them. There's just a blank wall of terror. Someday I know I will have to confront this, but the voices are saying, not yet, not yet, you're not ready yet. And I really don't feel ready. Should I just make myself, or is that just part of the duality of unkindness? Thank you so much.
you know, there's that piece of content, and then every one of us wouldn't have to look that far to see our little area of that.
Yes.
It's much like what Michael was expressing. So there's the voice that has a piece of content that we believe. And because we believe it, then that voice has great power over us. So the relationship that we get into is with that voice and with it controlling what we do and how we feel and how we see ourselves and how we see the world. And then we get into the that great dilemma that it likes to put us in, which is, okay, so should I, now that I'm aware of this, should I stay in this place or should I make myself do the opposite? So it feels not kind to just stay here. It feels not kind to be forced into something else. And, of course, you know, the middle way, the alternative that we like to offer is awareness.
Yeah.
So this person has seen the situation, has seen some of the players. So there's a part there who wants to join this group of people. There's a part who is terrified to join this group of people. And now the person that we're looking for to join this little band is what we talk about as the mentor. So somebody who is older and wiser. I would say both of the characters involved in the shall I not, are very young. Very young.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can go right to that place of they're the big kids, and they're all playing together, and here I am standing on the edge of the playground, and I really want to join them, but I don't know how, and it's really scary. And then the, you know, the judgmental voices of you can't, you better not, you're not ready, you're going to be rejected, they're not going to like you anyway, just stay where you are and feel bad. Just sound really young to me. And so those young folks need somebody older and wiser who can begin a mentoring process that eventually results in freedom. Okay, so the person writing in may decide, you know, that's really not what I'm interested in, you know, but I would like to join another group. I would like to have more people in my life. It's not really necessarily those people. Or that person may say, you know, yeah, I do. I at least want to have a chance to experience what these people are doing and participate in, you know, but I want the opportunity. I want to be free of this conditioned voice telling me that I can't. And so, you know, the book of ours that I would recommend is the Fear Book, because it does a lot of step-by-step kinds of things, of seeing where that terror resides in the body and breaking the connection between that feeling in my body and that means I have to react in this way.
I see.
And also some steps of, you know, kind of taking that young person by the hand and saying, okay, you know, now what's the first thing that we want to do toward being free to join or not join any group of people? What would be the first step? And looking at it as a process that's going to take as much time as it takes. So if I decided that I wanted to jump out of an airplane with a parachute on, then it's not just, oh, God, I can never do that, or, okay, I need to call them right now and make an appointment and pay my money and go next Saturday. It's, wow, all right, this is a process. Now, what's the first step in that process? And we don't have a timeline. It could take me the rest of my life. I may never jump out of the plane. But the point is, I'm going to be here bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to this process and these people who are suffering so that down the road there's freedom. And, of course, from my perspective, the freedom is there at the moment that we stop identifying with the person who is terrified, stop taking that person personally, and step back into that greater awareness, into that conscious, compassionate awareness, and extend compassion and support and help and guidance to that person who is struggling and suffering.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah. Thanks to the writer.
Yes. Yes. And I'll give our email address out again. If you'd like to email us your question, our address is openair@livingcompassion.org. Phone lines are open today. We would love to talk with you. Give us a call toll free at 877-514-7300.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air is our third and final segment of today's show. We'll be continuing our conversation about conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And yes, the phone lines are open. Give us a call toll-free at 877-514-7300. Sherry, I have some more email questions here.
Okay.
Hello, Sherry. Thanks for your continued dedication to doing the show. I really appreciate it. I've noticed something that doesn't seem to get much attention when we talk about conditioned mind. It seems to me that often when we examine our lives and our practice, we notice how conditioned mind interferes with our lives at negative times, such as times of stress or times of conflict, which of course seems a perfectly natural place for it to be. We notice the obvious self-hate that takes us out of the present. Lately, however, I've been noticing that my conditioned mind also interferes in a more subtle and unexpected place. It interferes with my ability to be present with pleasurable experiences. Instead of enjoying a nice hike in the woods and being present with it, I start to think about how nice it is instead of just being there and enjoying it. I start to think about what other hikes I could plan or what I have to do when I get home or what things I should be doing instead of hiking. Anything but just being there. In some ways, this is more insidious than the more obvious self-hating actions of conditioned mind, because it happens at a relatively happy moment and could more easily go unnoticed. I don't recall hearing any discussion of this topic, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you from a listener in Sacramento.
All right. Well, this is very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is subtle.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was that occurred to me when during our little break was that when I get home, I'm going to, as you know, we're doing a year-long email class, and I'm going to do a shorter email class. And I think that the first subject that I'm going to do is meditation, and simply because we are a meditation practice, and even though people a lot of people say, well, I meditate, or, you know, I know I should, but I don't have, it's not a sexy, juicy topic. You know, it's like, oh, no, make me meditate. And actually, you know, it's support for meditation. And of course it, we're going to look at attention and awareness and being present and why we're not, and, you know, just all those things that we all know, but we forget and we don't practice and, like that. So I want people to, if they're interested in having support for deepening their meditation practice, then we're going to do a shorter in the middle of the class that we're currently doing, email class on that topic. And so I say that because this kind of awareness that this person is having is a result of paying attention for a while.
Yeah.
When we first tune in, as the writer mentions, when we first tune in, what we're likely to hear is self-hating voices that are essentially trying to get us to stop tuning in.
Yes.
You know, this is a hateful world that you're dialing into. Change the dial. Let's go back to unconsciousness. But this person stuck with it and is now in that subtle area of, whoa, those conditioned voices are there even in the good times. And the place that is being talked about is one that I actually do talk about with some regularity. And people who are already there nod, and the people who aren't usually go into tremendous resistance, which is, of course, conditioned mind resisting the information that is going to give it trouble.
Yes.
And so I will tell people that notice when you, especially when you sit down to meditate, how tempting it is to go off into pleasant thoughts, and how those pleasant thoughts, just notice, I'm not telling you this is how it works, but just see for yourself if, in fact, most of them or all of them don't eventually lead to suffering. And people say, oh, no, why do you say that kind of, you know, I like, why not? And, you know, they argue for being able to have their pleasant thoughts, which is, of course, conditioned mind, again, throwing up a giant defense around one of its primary ways of getting to people. And when people pay attention, they notice what the writer noticed, that, you know, it's always there. And it's what it's actually doing is getting us out of the present, because conditioned mind, the illusion of a separate self, does not live in the present. It has no existence in the present. It only lives in the past and the future. And so it's going to angle in any way it can to draw us into either the past or the future. So, I mean, that's classic. You know, you're there at the gym working out, and the voice is saying, this is great. You know, you ought to work out more. And then it slides into, you know, in fact, if you had been working out all along, you'd be in way better shape than you are. You know, you haven't really done this, and now, you know, it's going to take you a year to get back to where, okay, so it's gone from, here I am working out, to I should do it more, to I've done it wrong in the past, to how hard it's going to be in the future. And, of course, that's a quick trip to giving up and being right back in the place where, you know, that voice can make me feel any way it wants me to feel at any time, just by pointing out all the things that I'm doing wrong and how it's my fault that I'm in the physical condition that I'm in. So this is great. And recognizing, having that awareness really opens up a great opportunity to spend more time in the present, because I'm not pulled off by self-hating voices that want to take me out into what's wrong and not enough, and I'm not falling for the cheery little voices that want to talk to me about how beautiful the sunset is that I'm looking at, and how it's just like the sunset that time. Well, that was my honeymoon, wasn't it? And oh my God, that went really badly. And okay, and now here we are divorced. And why did I ever? So subtle stuff. It's a good place to be. Congratulations for seeing it.
Yes. So, If I've heard you, what you're saying is that conditioned mind will do anything to get us out of the present moment.
Anything. And the one that most people fall for is the pleasant voice. You know, I am hiking. It would be a really good time to let myself think about that speech that I need to do next week. Okay? You know, I'm out here. It feels good. I'm hiking. I'm moving. You know, my mind is clear, okay? And so, or when I'm sitting and meditating, what a perfect time to think about that presentation that, you know, yeah. And we just fall for it over and over and over.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, it's just three or four thoughts from the pleasant thought to the...
Oh, right.
...thing wrong.
That's right, because, of course, pleasant thoughts don't cause us to suffer, and it's suffering that will keep us out of the present most effectively, which is why all roads lead to suffering. Now, if we know that, if we recognize that, if we see it, then we can get to that place of, aha. So, you know, if there's fear, if there's urgency, if there's something wrong, if we're in loss or deprivation, you know, these are a few of the things that we can tune into and go, wait a minute, you know, I'm falling for a scam here. I'm going with conditioned mind. I need to take a deep breath and apply all of those practices that I learn in and do in meditation and get myself back here into my body with the breath, with my senses now, here, wide awake, eyes open, breathing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, fabulous. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're coming up near the end of our show. Probably have time for a short call. Somebody wanted to join us. The number is toll-free, 877-514-7300. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Outside of the U.S., you can reach us at +1-858-277-1414. Sherry, I have another email question here.
Yeah, good.
Gasho, next week I'll be starting a job that involves a great deal of responsibility, more so than I've ever faced. Parts of me are in full panic mode, while others are excited by the challenge. There are a lot of areas of tightness in my body, and my blood pressure has gone sky high.
Mm.
I feel like my confidence often, quote, rests on straw, as I seem to have a lot of identity wrapped around failure, and I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
What came to me during meditation was to relax and have fun, that I'm still the same no matter what happens, and that, quote, if one watches a system, it doesn't matter what that system is doing, end quote.
Yes.
It feels nice to see this, as while I'm watching it, I certainly seem fine. This is still very challenging, though. I'm just trying to bring as much awareness and compassion to the situation as possible. The gist of my conditioning seems to be, you've never succeeded at anything even remotely like this before. What makes you think this time will be any different? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, of course, it's just so obvious to all of us listening to that, right? And
yes.
I hope it sounds like it's obvious to the writer. And certainly if the writer is listening, it's going to be obvious that the only thing going on there is that voice. You know, without the voice, there would just be what is. Without that voice of you can't, you never have, you're not going to be able to, there would just be, here I am, I have this job, I got the job, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm hired for the job.
Yes, starting
they
the
think
job.
They think I can do the job. So I'm qualified for the job. And without that voice, there's no doubt I can do that job. Now, do I know everything that's going to be necessary? No. Can I anticipate and plan for everything that I'm going to be? No. Can I prevent? No. I can't, but what I can do is be there, be conscious, be present, be open, and you know, as a person who employs people, I can tell you that that is pretty much all I ask for. If a person is there, as present as they can be, doing the best job that they can do, and they are open to, well, that didn't work. How could we? You know, how can we fix that, or how could we improve that, or that's it. I mean,
yes.
Isn't that what everybody wants?
Yes.
in themselves and in partners and in children and in parents and,
yes.
and in coworkers and in employees and in bosses?
Yes.
It's not you have to meet my conditioned ideas of perfection. It's
yeah.
just, can we all be here doing the best that we can do and be open to whatever possibilities exist in this moment? That's it. So that's the attitude of mind, of course, that the person is describing until the voices kick in. And
yeah.
then what we're practicing is recognizing those voices, and as the writer says, it doesn't matter. If I'm practicing conscious, compassionate awareness, and that's where I'm living in this moment, it doesn't matter that there are voices. It doesn't matter what they're saying or what they're doing. It doesn't matter. I am practicing awareness. It doesn't matter what I'm aware of.
Yes.
So continuing to go back to that place, come back to the breath, and come back to the awareness, and remind myself I'm doing the very best I can. And if people have information for me, I want to hear it. I want to practice saying, thank you, I hadn't thought of that, or thank you, I hadn't seen that, or what's the next better thing that we can bring to this to all be more successful?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a successful endeavor.
Yes. Wonderful. Sherry, we're at the end of our hour here.
How quickly it passes.
How quickly it passes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here, and thanks to the people who have called in and all those folks who are going to be listening.
Yes.
I hope everybody joins us next week.
Yes. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all our callers today. It's great to have you with us today. If you'd like to email us when we're not on the air, send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives of all the shows are right here at worldtalkradio.com. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Sherry. Good night.